much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, I'm Bob Ross, and I'd like to welcome you. First of all, let me take just a moment to thank you for allowing me back into your homes. If this is your first time with us, let me extend a personal invitation for you to drag out your oil paints and paint along with us each week. Let's go over to the canvas here and let's get started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Are you on drugs or alcohol?
No, sir.
Do you take drugs or alcohol?
What is drugs?
Do you get a look at those eyes, huh? And he says no to drugs and alcohol.
Angela's cats are cute. So cute that you just want to eat them. But you can't eat cats. You can't eat cats, Kevin.
And now.
I think the CIA is controlling my thoughts.
No, we're not.
I guess they're not.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday morning. What's happening?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How are they?
Awesome.
They do look awesome today.
Thank
I got to
be
honest. Hey, naked yoga. That's
yes.
a thing?
Yes. San Francisco.
Love it.
Men,
don't
mostly.
Love it. Don't love it, then.
San Francisco men mostly, sweeping across the United States and Canada as well. Apparently, it is a thing.
Yeah.
What do you know about it, Lisa? What's the point of that exactly?
I'm not sure, but I have read that it's mostly in San Francisco and men,
of course.
And I imagine it's sort of the hippie culture, be free kind
sure.
of thing.
So
but
are they?
You know, when you're twisting into different positions, that seems dangerous to me.
Are they claiming it's a non-sexual experience? Are they claiming
yes.
that they get some sort of
They always
what?
Claim that.
Yeah.
It's just freedom,
It's about
B.
freedom, man.
Yeah, it's about freedom, man.
Here's one article I found on it. For some, it's about naturalism. It's and just being nude. For other people, it's just a bucket list endeavor. Yoga itself is a great physical activity and has many benefits. When you're engaging a challenge for yourself, it's a little intimidating. But when you confront that challenge, it can take on a lot of self-confidence. So it seems like at least this person being interviewed, and this is about the rising trend of naked yoga in Canada, it's difficult, and that's why you should do it, because you should confront your fears and it will make you feel better and stronger afterwards, in addition to the physical workout that you get. That's what they seem to be suggesting.
Interesting.
Yoga's BS anyway, though, right?
No, yoga's really hard.
I've done yoga, and it's really difficult if you do
That's why it's BS.
If you do it right.
Because it's really difficult.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
But Kevin, think of doing it naked.
Well, I wouldn't get certain parts to do the down dog, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right now.
Not a pretty picture.
It's not going to happen.
Well, the reason I bring all of that up, and the reason I even was tipped off to naked yoga being a thing, and the reason the FBI will have many questions as to why there's so much naked yoga in my browser on Firefox this morning, is because of this story. West Covina woman arrested for nude yoga exercises at Cortez Park. Police arrested a 19-year-old woman Sunday.
Oh, it's never the 19-year-olds.
On a suspicion. Yeah, I know. These articles are always 56-year-old
yes.
ex-con alcoholics. on Sunday, of suspicion of indecent exposure after she stripped nude at Cortez Park and began practicing yoga. Now, who called the cops on her?
Bitchin'.
How is that not the best?
Witnesses at the park reported the unusual incident just before 10:40 a.m. at the park, according to West Covina police. The woman, whose name was not available pending the booking process, arrived at the park, disrobed, and proceeded to practice yoga, said the lieutenant. When the officers arrived, she was fully nude.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
First of all, why is every crackhead article accompanied with a mugshot? And there's no mugshot on this one.
Second
of all, interesting.
Second of all, remember when we had Michael Cudlitz in earlier this week
yeah.
from Southland, and I was saying I'd love to know from the LAPD how often they respond to a call and somebody's naked, because it seems like on that show it happens all the time.
Right.
This is one of those rare instances where the officers show up and they go, okay, not too bad.
You know, we need money. Let's just sell tickets for things like this.
Ooh. Not a bad idea.
Don't arrest her.
have classes in the park, but make them available to the public to come put up some bleachers.
Yes.
Well, fundraiser for the state.
I like it.
There are plenty of sites, it turns out, online with naked yoga videos, by the way, if anyone's interested in finding out more. I had no idea. This is just one of those dark corners of the internet that I was not aware of until today. But
well, boys, we have our job cut out for us today.
I'm guessing there's naked everything.
It's a wormhole, man. Once you start going down that path, it's tough to come back out. It really is.
Is it mostly ladies?
It's both. It's both.
My gosh.
Did you sleep last night, Bean? Because I'm guessing not.
No, I did. I just found out about this morning.
Oh,
I've just been working
good.
On it here this morning, but right. I may be unavailable for the rest of the program.
Okay, that's what I figured.
So the cops, the final word on this, so the cop goes home. How was your day, honey? Well, 19-year-old woman, naked yoga. That's how my day was.
Sure was rough, honey. I didn't like it.
Yeah, so this job is a
mess. No, she was ugly. Why would you say that?
Good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Are you seriously doing this? I can't believe this. This is so dumb.
I know. We told you yesterday we had Joe Rogan on the program.
Liar.
We lied. Ripped the carpet right out from underneath you.
Sure
however
did.
You do it. Stop. Tablecloth, whatever you rip out.
You know, because it's Rogan, I bet there's going to be some reasonable explanation, because I know he's rescheduled. He's coming in today, allegedly. That he – oh, you know what? On Wednesdays, I'm living in the alternate universe. It
could
be one of those kind of things.
Because
you know how wacky Joe is. He's living on many planes at once.
So he will be in the studio. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew today.
Great.
We have many questions for the good doctor, including Mindy McCready, which is the very sad story of her committing suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Latest patient he killed, right?
Yeah, he's not actually killing people. Beer Mug came up with a song, Bean.
I can't wait.
Came up with a song. Beer Mug did a parody song.
I bet he's as good at singing as he is at everything else he does.
I'm going to suggest, because I've heard it.
All right.
A little better.
Wow. But we found his one thing?
No, but hold on a second. A little bit better than his normal isn't really that good either.
Right, of course. Yeah.
But it's a little better.
Okay.
I'm going to go that far.
Thank you, Kevin.
No problem. brand new internet roundup. Brand new My Strange Addiction. What do we have today, Bean?
Today we're going to be meeting the woman who is addicted to bee stings.
Addicted.
In the last 10 years, she has intentionally stung herself more than 50,000 times.
Oh, my God. What?
Does it give her some kind of high?
We'll find out.
Does it feel good?
We'll find out.
It has to.
She's got beehives in her backyard, Lisa, and she goes out with her little bee vacuum and brings them into the house and one by one takes them out of the vacuum and puts them on her skin and waits till they bite her.
Oh, my God.
They die, right? Bees die, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and she – I don't want to give too much away, but she weeps over everyone.
Now I love her. Love her.
Unbelievable.
We also have Shelley Murphy on the program, who wrote a book. And this is the title, believe it or not. I'm not even sure how they fit it on the cover. But Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster, and the manhunt that brought him to justice.
Okay. That's everything.
That's the gangster dude that was living in Santa Monica, and they'd been looking for what, 20 years or something like that?
Yeah. And he was responsible for killing dozens of people, and he was also an FBI informant, and he's one of the most fascinating people that I've ever read about. I read a little bit of the book yesterday. I mean, he's the guy that you imagine who has passports and large amounts of cash in post office boxes and safe deposit boxes all over the world because he never knows when he's going to have to flip and change his identity and be on the run for the rest of his life. I mean, that's this guy. Fascinating stuff.
I love that guy.
Yeah, me too. I want to be that guy.
And the oldest woman on Facebook. Don't need photos. Tell you that right now.
I hope she does naked yoga. And
don't need the photo option. Don't need the new video option. None of that. Keep that to yourself, woman. So we got that coming up as well. Plus Ronda Rousey, who's fighting in UFC 157, is coming up in about a half hour. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
By the way, if you want to see that band up close and personal, they are going to be the latest to stop by the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. That's coming up on February the 28th, which is next week. You can go to KROQ.com and sign up to be part of the audience to see them perform live. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Oh!
We missed you yesterday. Welcome back, sir.
Ah, it's good to be back. You know, when you see these stories about smoking hot cheerleader coaches in high schools are like 24 years old,
yes.
And it comes out that she's been banging a whole class of 16-year-old dudes.
Yes. And you go, where was she when I was in school?
That's the big question we always ask, right? Where were those kinds of teachers when I was in school? Well, now I have to ask the same question about Judy Vigor of Glen Falls, New York. 33-year-old Judy, who threw a birthday party for her 16-year-old son and got him not one, but two strippers at the party to give him lap dances.
His mom?
Where were these kinds of moms when I was growing up, I have to ask myself. Judy, by the way, has been charged with 5 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Yeah, you know how abusive those strippers can be.
How dangerous that can be.
When they give you those lap dances, you are endangering the welfare of your child.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Ralph. This was going to be my opening story today until Naked Yoga caught my eye. What is the damage done to a 15-year-old if he watches a girl dance?
First of all, he was 16.
Okay. There were other kids at the party, though, who were 14 and 15.
Well, that's what they say, yeah, 13, 14, and 15.
What is the actual harm done, though? There's no sex going on here. There's no nudity going on here.
No,
What's the... I mean, how is that child endangerment?
Zero. Zero chances of child
endangerment. It confuses me. You could argue it is not good parenting.
Of course. You could say it's wildly inappropriate.
It's inappropriate, right. But is this something for the law? I don't think so.
I think that this is based on the fact that if something like this happened to a 16-year-old girl,
yes,
it might cause emotional damage. And so they go, well, if it's true for the girls, it's true for the guys. You know what? No, it isn't.
Look, it may have been wildly embarrassing for this kid to get these dances. It could have been more funny than it was erotic.
Right.
In many cases.
Mm-hmm.
But still, worst case scenario, what, he got his feelings hurt? He was embarrassed? He blushed? What's the worst that could happen to this kid at 16?
Yeah. I don't know why the police need to be involved.
Boner.
That's it. Let me tell you something. Not to reveal too much about myself, I was knocking it out when I was 16 with my girlfriend, right? This isn't a baby. This isn't a child.
You weren't endangered?
I wasn't endangered. The only thing I was in danger of was exploding. The only thing I was in danger of at 16. So let's give Judy Greer a break, shall we? However, she's 33 years older than 16.
Yeah.
So she may have not made the best life choices for herself in general.
I love her. How dare you?
And when she's a grandmother at 35, maybe she'll look back and think, maybe I did the wrong things. But my head exploded. Here's the thing. It turned out that many of the adults at the party said they were outraged. Yeah, I bet they were.
Sure.
Especially the dads.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were outraged. It turns out the police found out about the whole business because the mother of a 15-year-old boy who attended the party saw some of the photos on her son's Facebook page. So a friend of the kid who got the dances took some pictures and said, "Dude!" and put it on his Facebook page. Mom saw his Facebook page and said, "What is this?" And he told her, and then she called the cops, and the cops investigated, and that's how the whole thing
happened. Where's the outrage there?
The party had happened months ago, and she just got visited by the police because of the Facebook, yeah.
Come on now with the come on.
I'm with you, Ralph.
Thank you, Bean. You know I could count on you when it comes to strippers. I thought Kevin would be
I'm with you as well.
Great news. We may have more to look forward to in that Star Wars sequel than even Han Solo appearing. As you know, last week it was talked about Harrison Ford looked like he was going to return in his role as Han Solo for the 7th Star Wars film that now J.J. Abrams is overseeing. Well, Mark Hamill has announced that he, too, has been in discussions with producers about returning in his role as Luke Skywalker for number 7. Carrie Fisher has also been approached to return as Princess Leia. And Mark says he thinks Billy Dee Williams and Anthony Daniels, who played C-3PO, may also be back as well.
Is the setting a rest home?
They're getting the band back together.
Now, it's wild speculation, Ralph, but do you think that'll be flashbacks to earlier adventures with other actors playing those roles, or do you think they're just going to kind of pick up the action after Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, we've had the first three, the most recent films. Those were the prequels to the ones we know and love. Then we had the original three with Luke Skywalker's character.
The good ones.
And I'm sure there will be new characters introduced and a new storyline will be followed, but these characters will appear in the film at some point somehow. It may just be cameos, but the history of those characters will be dealt with in the future films, so it's kind of cool.
It is.
If you're a Star Wars geek like I am, it's good stuff. And more big-time movie maker news. Steven Spielberg has been exciting the folks down there in Florida. He apparently is vacationing just off the coast of Fort Lauderdale this week. They know he's there because they spotted his yacht moored off the coast of Fort Lauderdale. It's really hard to call Steven Spielberg's yacht a yacht. It should be called a mansion that floats.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, it cost $200 million.
Oh, my
God.
That's what his yacht cost.
Wow.
What kind of home do you live in when your yacht costs $200 million?
No kidding.
Here's what it features. An infinity pool, to which I say, you're in the ocean. Nature's infinity pool. Can't you just go swim in the ocean?
Everywhere you look.
So look at the horizon. It looks like infinity. Just go swim there. A movie theater, of course.
Sure.
A gym.
Yeah.
A spa.
Right.
A helipad.
Sure.
Sleeps 12.
Right.
Has a crew of 26. You can rent it, by the way.
I would love to.
For a budget-friendly $1.3 million per week, if you're looking for just a week's vacation.
That's a rental?
You can rent that just for the $1.3
million. Wow.
Sure, Stevie rents it to his buddies just to help with the upkeep, you know?
Sure.
That 26-man crew, that gets expensive. We will never know that sort of wealth, boys and girls. But it's fun to think about. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ellen Page, isn't she just adorable, that little midget Canadian actress?
She is.
I love her. She's 26 years old today. Ashley Green from the Twilight movies turns 26 years old. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wow.
From Client List and Party of Five. She is 34 years old today. Actress Nicole Parker from Mad TV and Funny People. She's 35 years old. Billy Baldwin of the Acting Baldwins turns 50. Jack Coleman, our buddy Jack Coleman. Remember, he was the dad on Heroes. He was Hayden Panettiere's dad on Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Gordon Ring Glasses guy. He was also in Dynasty. 55 years old. Kelsey Grammer is 58. William Peterson of CSI is 60 years old today. And record company executive David Geffen turns 70 years old. If you watch the Eagles documentary over the weekend, you know David Geffen does not fare well in that film. He just seems
He's like a dick.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I have a very serious question for you, Kevin, because I know you hate old people.
I do.
When you get to be old, are you still going to hate old people? Are you going to be a self-hating oldie?
Well, it depends on if I start driving like they do. Yesterday, this is not a joke, I live in an area where there's too many old people. I think that's the problem. I'm surrounded by old drivers all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to move and I would have a greater appreciation for old people. But yesterday, I was sitting at a traffic light and ahead of me, a police motorcycle tried to pull over a woman. She had to be 70, 75.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped right in the lane she was in. Just stopped.
Oh, God.
She just stopped.
She didn't know you're supposed to pull over to the side of the road?
Well, so then the cop gets off his motorcycle, puts up the kickstand, walks up to the woman's window, and motions over to the side of the road like, hey, idiot, pull over there. We're in the middle of the road. And then she pulls over there. You know, 1 mile an hour. I wanted to get out and just scary. They just drive me crazy.
Well, I love them, as you know.
Yes.
First of all, they're the greatest generation, Kevin. Never forget that. But second of all, they're awesome. What about, and maybe you saw her on the Tonight Show last night, Edith Kirkmaler, who is Facebook's oldest registered user. She is 105 years old.
What's the question?
What about her? What about her being 105 and on Facebook? Now, that's a hip and happening chick, right?
No,
it
isn't.
That's her daughter.
It's her,
her son
or grandson, probably, even.
Yeah.
Maybe great-grandson.
I saw an interview with her where she talked about how funny it is that her driver's license birth date is 1-22-08. And people are always confused by that. Like, how were you born in 2008? She's like, no. I was born in 1908.
She still has a driver's license?
Yeah, she still drives. Yes, she does. She's very happening. She's very hip. I think I love her and she will be mine. And how about this for a surprise for you, Kevin? We have Edith Kirchmaler on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Edith.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Congratulations on all the publicity surrounding you being the oldest Facebook user.
I know. It's crazy.
Now, are you the Facebook user or is it a son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson?
No, it's my Facebook page.
It's yours?
Yes.
Yeah. And what kinds of things do you like to do on Facebook, Edith?
I love the Facebook. Because it allows me to keep in touch with friends and family.
How many friends do you have that, you know, are anywhere near your age that are still alive?
Well, I have friends of all different ages.
Right.
And I work with a charitable organization called Direct Relief.
Oh, you do?
I volunteered there for the past 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
What's Direct Relief?
It's a medical and charitable organization for the elderly.
Okay.
And it's just so wonderful to be in contact with the people that I've helped and their families. And people, they write such nice messages, and I've got pictures up there from people all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, Edith, you're hoping to get 105,000 likes on your page. This article from a few days ago said you were just around 80,000. How's that going?
Well, every day we get more and more, and that's part of the fun, too, for me, is to go on and check to see how many new likes I have.
Sure, but yeah, something to look forward to.
Mostly for me, it's a fun thing, and I use it mostly looking for Strange Wang.
I'm sorry, what?
What? I'm sorry, we had a problem with the phone connection there, Edith. What did you say?
I use it to get laid. I like to go on the Facebook and chat up dudes and try to get some wang bone.
I'm not sure you know what that term means. You're not talking.
I know what it means. I'm 104, for God's sakes. I certainly know what a penis is.
Okay, but you're not trolling for Strange on the internet.
Oh, yes, I am. That's a good time right there. You can meet all kinds of freaks.
How much sex are you having because of Facebook?
Well, I usually have 3 or 4 dudes drop over a day.
No, Edith, this is unsavory.
As long as they wear a jimmy, it's game on.
Oh, my God.
I have a good time with lots of different fellas and sometimes women and, oh, just groups. I like to swing. And so we have a great time, and it's a great way on Facebook to find, you know, other people letting their freak flag fly. And we get together. Sometimes we drop some E or just spark up a bowl, kick back, relax, have some Jaeger bombs, and just go at it.
But you just look like just a sweet little old lady. I thought you were out there just trying to raise awareness for your charity.
Well, looks can be deceiving. I like to get nailed.
All right.
I'm extremely uncomfortable
with this.
I like a stranger to come by the house and then just drive me like a cheap rental car.
All right. You know what, Edith? I think we're actually out of time.
I'd like to find a stranger to come and split me like a pair of eights.
We actually need to go, Edith, but thank you so much for the time today.
I like that. Usually I'll put on leather.
Right. Okay, that's fine.
I like it. I've got my nipples pierced, and I like someone to get a piece of chain. And
I don't like this anymore.
Okay. Just start tugging.
All right, good luck with
My Strange Addiction, back on TLC, The Woman Addicted to Bee Stings. We'll talk about next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Joe Rogan on the program today, Dr. Drew, and the woman who wrote the book about Whitey Bulger, one of the most fascinating criminals of the 20th and 21st century. All that coming up here today on K-Rock.
Beer Bug is fat.
Yes.
What?
All capitals. Capital F, capital A, capital T.
Yep.
At least his New Year's resolution was to start dieting and to get right back in shape.
He did sound pretty serious because he won that bet last year where he lost a bunch of weight and he felt really, really good about himself. He was down to what he called his fighting weight. And then as soon as you paid him that money, he started ballooning up big time and went well past where he originally started dieting from.
He ate the money, I think. I think he just shoved it down his gullet. Every time we get food during the show, he's standing over here just eyeing the bag of food, you know, that's next to me. And I'm like, all right, listen, take the whatever. Here, have it. I give him half my food.
It's kind of like sitting on a park bench and you're surrounded by squirrels. That's what it's like when you're eating at Beer Bug. They're just giving you the evil eye, just waiting for crumbs to hit the ground.
And
that's
by the way, it's not like he didn't order food.
Right.
Like, he has a bag of, like, 4 burritos and 5 of this and 7 of this, and he's just jamming it in his mouth.
He's just this empty tank that cannot be filled.
Muggs' new thing, Kevin, and sometimes you don't even see this, but he has the breakfast before the breakfast now. He brings in food or eats food on the way. That way he's got an hour head start before you guys order breakfast.
And that's what's fascinating to me because we usually get food the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Right. He's already eaten.
Holy cow, how are you already starving?
I think I'm at the lowest point of my life, you guys.
Well, it is it is funny that you can laugh about it because...
That's me laughing, not him.
No, I'm saying... Oh. It sounds like Muggs is laughing about it, but the truth is, Muggs, you're really going down a well here or something, son. Like, I'm starting to get concerned with what's going on in your life.
You're right. It's so sad because when I did lose all that weight, Bean, like you said, I was on the path to, like, doing it I was getting in really good shape, and I have never gone out, like, just relapsed so hard on anything in my life.
Yeah. But at least when January 1st, 2013 came around, that's when you turned it around because you had the New Year's resolution. You're going to get back in shape,
right? Sure did.
Yeah, not so much.
Here's what's funny. It's the 20th of February. He could not have been more serious about his New Year's resolution. I mean, really serious. I'm not kidding around this time. It's about my health. I mean it. And then, you know, he's like, I don't know, maybe on Monday, you know, whatever that was, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th of January.
He can't start the diet until he goes to the gym. He's got this weird thing of, like, I remember one day I said, so are you starting your diet finally? He said, well, not right now. Right. But if I'm going to go to the gym this afternoon, and that's when I'm going to start.
Yeah, it could be later that day. And always as convincing. Right. I mean, he believes it. Totally. He means it.
Well, our listeners enjoy Beer Mug's Weight Challenge, of course, and you recall the song that the listeners sent in that they put to music, all about how Beer Mug is fat.
Do 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 do. Beer Mug's fat. Do do do. Beer Mug's fat. Do do. Beer Mug's fat. Do 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 do. Beer Mug's fat. Do do do. Beer Mug's fat. Do do. Beer Mug's fat. Do 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 do. Standing on the scale, his face is full of fear. The number doesn't change because he is full of beer. He got the lowest score in the world on his SATs. And now he drowns his problems with the things he eats. He stays motivated when you guys make fun of him. 3 months to lose the weight, but he ain't losing none of it. People look at him and think he weighs a billion. Nope, bigger numbers. That dude weighs a gillion. Beer Mug's fat.
So that's how that goes. Now, that was Beer Mug 20. That was Beer Mug 2012. Now, you're telling me there's a Beer Mug 2013 song now?
Written and sung by our own Beer Mug.
Oh,
wow.
All right.
Wow.
A view from the inside out.
Sort of, yeah.
If it can get out.
And we just tweeted the picture, too, again, of he and Phil Kogan.
That's a beautiful thing.
With their shirts off.
Yeah.
And it looks like Phil Kogan could fit in Beer Mug's stomach.
It does look like he ate him.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, is there a title for this song?
Or? Yeah, it's called So Fat.
So, I've been trying to diet right.
Fat.
I've been failing every night.
So,
I've been drinking beer instead.
Fat.
I've been eating in my bed.
So,
eating in my bed.
So,
oh, yeah. Oh.
Fat.
All my meals are soaked in grease.
So,
that will block my arteries.
Fat.
Pork rinds are what I want.
So,
deep fried butter to make me strong.
Fat.
Then I'll hit the bomb.
So, I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. I belong to food. So,
are you gonna finish that?
Fat.
Are those hash browns fried in fat?
So,
thick bacon's all I need.
Fat.
A quarter pounder wrapped in cheese.
So,
extra mayo
is what I please.
Fat.
Could you put the chili cheese fries on the bun?
So,
it's gonna give me heart disease.
Fat.
Fantastic.
I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
That's so good.
I belong to food. Food belongs to me in my clogged heart. Hey, feed my face now. Chicken
and waffles, yum. Can I get that with 3 sides of mac and cheese, please?
And soon I'll be 900 pounds. I belong.
Quick, somebody get the defibrillator. Clear.
Come on.
There it is.
Come on.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Paul writes in, I think Beer Mug is eating to soothe all the pain of the fire beer mug talk. P.S. Fire beer mug. So that's what Paul says.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We will play that at your funeral in 4 to 6 weeks.
You were 58 pounds overweight when you came down here, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
You were a fat slob. You looked like the great white whale, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
You're going to lose every ounce of that 58 pounds, you hear?
Yes, sir.
Every day at chow, you will show me your tray.
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to eat no bread, no corn, no pie, cake, desserts of any kind, no whole milk, no beans, no butter, no sugar, no potatoes, candy, ice cream, salad dressings, or peanut butter.
Yes, sir.
You came here with nothing but fat. You're going to leave here with nothing but muscle.
Yes, sir.
No. I'm relatively sure the beer mug put on 5 pounds since we played that song. I think that's happened.
Well, he was inspired. One of our listeners suggested we need to get him a job at the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas.
I like
because
it.
They've had such success with their employees. All right, you're listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday. KROQ's World Tour 2013 destination number 6 is the Chili Peppers in Mexico City, Mexico. We'll have another chance for you to qualify for that at 9:10 this morning. Details at KROQ.com. Right now, though.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on with the showbiz beat?
I will not accept that from her.
Hi, it's Ralph.
It's Cut. Hit the musicness. Cut's box.
Ralph's been doing that impression on and off the air, and Kat decided to return the favor.
Well, that's sweet of her.
Hi, it's Ralph.
You know, we're talking of employees.
Yes.
You know, when you read those stories about the high school teachers banging the 16-year-olds, and you say, where were those teachers when I was a kid?
Yep.
And then you hear the story about the mother who got the two strippers to do lap dances for her 16-year-old son at his birthday party. And you say, where were those mothers when I was a kid?
Right.
Now
what?
Out of Washington State.
It's either Florida or Washington always.
Comes the breaking news that three young women have been arrested because they worked as baristas at the grab-and-go coffee shops. Here's the thing. Guys were coming up for their coffee, and for a little extra something-something, the girls would strip naked for them in the drive-thru window.
What? How's that not all good?
It is all good! But again, where are these coffee shops in my neighborhood?
Good point.
Dude, it's hard to drive down a street in Seattle without finding some sort of a naked or bikini barista place. They're just everywhere. It's the most popular thing here. You know, coffee? People like coffee. People like naked women. It's huge here.
How many times have you been to one?
Yeah, what are they like, Bean?
I haven't gone to one, but you know, you drive by them and you see the signs and stuff.
The gayness never ends with you.
You are just a eunuch on every level. You are a waste of genitals.
Why don't you donate those to somebody that'll use
them? Yeah, really. Of all the things all the organs you're giving up, give the one you never use. Your kidney, at least you were using.
It's insane, though, how much time the various police forces in the metro area spend going in and out of these coffee shops just looking for somebody who's, you know, showing some boob.
It's research. These were not adult cabarets.
Oh.
They didn't have the license to operate as such.
Right.
They were just, it's a chain called Grab and Go. Brings on a whole new meaning when you talk about the girls working the club. You go there for your coffee, and then for extra money, these girls would strip for you in the drive-thru window, and you could look in the drive-thru window and see them naked.
And
People were complaining, and so they set a 2-month-long sting operation to catch these women.
And now why only 2 months? Why not a year?
That's what I'm saying. Why if I was a cop, I'd say, I need to gather a little bit more evidence.
Why is America bad?
Why is America bad indeed?
Hi, it's Ralph.
So we're not going to see any of that anytime soon. Boo.
That isn't good for you.
It is good for us.
Since we're talking about Bean, let's talk about other things that are not sexy. The website Menkind has released a poll. They say they've conducted a survey, and they have found the least sexy actresses in Hollywood, as voted to by the men from their site. Usually when we do these lists, it's usually the sexiest women of some website or magazine.
Right.
These are the least sexy stars in Hollywood, according to their men.
Okay.
I'll go from bottom to top, okay?
So top would be the ugliest?
Uma Thurman was number 10. Not ugliest, just not sexy.
Okay.
Women who are purported to be sexy or posted up in the entertainment business as sexy, but who, in fact, are least sexy.
You guys aren't buying it.
Uma Thurman, number 10.
My boyfriend loves her.
Really?
Yeah.
I like her. I like old Uma Thurman. Or not, that would be now.
Younger.
I like early
Uma Thurman.
But I don't find her sexy any longer either.
It's interesting. She is very pretty, but does not give off a sexy vibe at all.
Yeah. Number 9.
I kind of agree with that.
Number 9, Lucy Liu.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, Hillary Swank. was eighth. Misha Barton at seven.
Okay. This is a pretty good list, by the way, because all of these are in that category of pretty but not sexy.
Yeah, just you don't get it, right?
Interesting.
Kirsten Dunst.
Totally.
She should be number one.
Number five on the list. No, you're going to agree with number one when you get there. Right. Denise Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really pretty.
Really pretty.
Super not sexy.
Super not sexy.
I don't know how they split the two up, but.
Little Ahern. Was third on the list.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's such a hot mess.
Maybe,
that she's
but
really
before?
Just, even before, she always seemed just like,
Yeah, that's true.
She seems like somebody would be a waitress at a diner somewhere. It's just
and miserable.
And you'd get something for your trouble.
Yeah. Oh,
you'd find yourself at the clinic next week.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sure.
Second place.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I never get that. Number one. The sexy female star that we're told is sexy. Anyone? Bueller?
I'm hearing from Dave, the King of Mexico, Angelina Jolie.
No, no, shut up, Dave. JK!
I don't have a guess.
You don't.
Who is considered sexy but isn't? Betty White.
No, she's really sexy.
She's considered sexy and is sexy.
Right.
Hello.
Kristen Stewart. Twilight's Kristen Stewart is number one.
God, yes.
Yeah, I have got to agree with that 100%.
That's a really weird thing, too, pretty girls that aren't sexy.
Yeah,
she's also a strange category. She's considered actress. No, not really an actress.
She's considered many things that she isn't really.
She's just dour.
But I think it's a spot on list.
That's a pretty good list. Yeah,
hard to argue with that.
They're all put in romantic and leads and films and television shows, and you're supposed to be attracted to them, but it just doesn't work somehow.
Yep.
And it's funny because somebody like Denise Richards, who has been in Playboy and just has a tremendous figure and everything, but there is something about her. Part of it is that she's a terrible actress. Part of it is that she seems extremely frosty in not friendly or warm in real life.
That's it.
Part of it is the crazy Charlie Sheen association. There's just too many negatives, too many dings against her for you to still get excited over her.
And another person who could be on the list, I think, is Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you?
Tadoff Switler.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah,
Spawn of Satan. Not sexy at all, right?
I think at times she can be pretty, but not sexy
not even
at
a little
all.
Bit. Not even a little bit.
No.
And she'll get less sexy for you when you realize what a money-grubbing whore she is.
No,
what an evil, evil, horrible... satanic, evil, horrible woman she is.
She is the spawn of Satan, no question.
She's getting sued, and surprisingly not by one of her ex-boyfriends, but instead by Canada. Canada is suing her.
Canada?
Well, not the whole country, but she was supposed to do the Capitol Hoedown concert in Ottawa back in August of 2012.
Okay.
Oh, the Capitol Hoedown.
That does sound like
I can't think of anything I want to go to less than anything called the Capitol Hoedown. She was paid $2.5 million for the gig.
What?
Turns out the show was canceled. Show had to be canceled, and the promoters had to refund the $1.8 million in ticket sales. But Taylor said she was keeping the paycheck for a concert she did not perform.
Is that allowed? I don't know their contract.
I guess it depends on the contract.
Yeah,
but
that's what this whole thing boils down to. Not whether she's evil or not.
Oh, she's evil.
No,
that's
what
the contract was.
No, but if she didn't perform elsewhere because she was going to do that, that does make sense to me.
Meaning she would have lost the income.
Yeah.
They say she wants her. They want her to pay back at least the $1.8 million in ticket sales that they had to refund because the event was canceled.
Here's my thing. Whatever side she's on, I'm on the opposite.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So I'm going saying go hoedown.
Right.
Get me on the hoedown trial.
Never thought I'd hear you say that.
Politics,
it's Ralph.
Politics makes bad bedfellows.
Yeah.
Something like that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Record company executive David Geffen is 70 years old today. William Peterson from CSI. 60 years old. Kelsey Grammer turns 58. Jack Coleman from Heroes and Dynasty is 55. Billy Baldwin celebrates his 50th birthday today. Jennifer Love Hewitt is 34.
Sexy, by the way.
Have you seen her lately?
Very sexy.
Yeah.
Ashley Green from the Twilight movies, also sexy, 26 years old. Ellen Page from Inception and Juno is 26.
Not sexy.
Not sexy.
Way cute.
She's too
adorable.
Little girl.
Amazing.
Way
talented.
Cute.
Adorable.
Agreed.
Yeah. Not sexy.
Not sexy.
And Corbin Bleu from High School Musical.
Way sexy.
So sexy.
Wow.
He is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Got an enormous hour for you coming up between now and 8 o'clock here on the world-famous Kerrick, including a brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. We'll also visit My Strange Addiction on TLC last night, the woman who is addicted to bee stings. That's odd how you'd get into that. How do you get – I understand people who get addicted to soda or people who get addicted to exercise or drugs
right.
because you can see how you would try that once. Why would you intentionally start stinging yourself with bees and then become hooked on that?
You could also see that you would enjoy – like, for example, heroin.
Right.
Yes. You would think, oh, I could see how he's hooked on that. It must feel good.
Right.
Right.
But you
right.
know bee stings suck.
Yes.
And they hurt and there's no good that comes from them. So how could somebody then go, you know what? I think I need more of this.
Well, you're going to be meeting that young lady in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I think you're going to find her story fascinating. Also, Dr. Drew on the program next hour, and our friend Joe Rogan, who actually is going to be here today on time. Can't
right.
wait. First, though, Kevin, I know you're right there with me. You can't wait to read this book, Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. It is going to be available on March the 4th. Shelley Murphy is one of the co-authors of the book, and she joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Shelley. Thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You've been working in Boston newspapers for 30-something years. You've been kind of on the crime beat following the mob. How often do you have the confidence to start your own car in the mornings?
No, actually, right now Whitey's in jail, so I'm not worried about starting my car.
Not everybody Whitey knows is in jail. He's extraordinary, even though we've all heard stories and seen movies about guys in the mob before. Whitey's one of a kind. For folks who maybe don't know too much about his case, give us the short version synopsis of kind of the deal with him and the crimes that he's been responsible for over the decades.
Sure. Well, what most people out there will remember is that he was captured in Santa Monica in June 2011, living just a couple of blocks from the beach in a rent-controlled apartment. But he seemed more like a gangster. I mean, an elderly, you know, retiree than a gangster.
And how long had he been on the road when he got caught?
He had been on the run for more than 16 years.
I didn't mean road. I meant run. Yeah. Okay. For more than 16 years.
Right, and he was one of the FBI's 10 most wanted, right up there next to Osama bin Laden. He had a $2 million reward being offered for his capture, and he was brought down in Santa Monica by a cat and a former beauty queen.
what did he do, though? I mean, what got him on the list? What kind of crimes and murders was he responsible for?
Well, what sets him apart is that he was charged with killing 19 people in the 70s and 80s here in Boston while he was the head of what we would call the Irish mob, and that at that time he was also an FBI informant who was working behind the scenes secretly providing the FBI with information against their number one target, the Mafia.
Wow.
I mean, back in the 80s, the Mafia, you know, nationally was the number one target. And so, you know, by providing information against his rivals, he was able to sort of rise to the top, you know, of the underworld while all these mobster guys were being carted off to jail.
So he's using the FBI to take out his enemies.
That's right. And he was... You know, and we now know while he was on the run, this story really unfolded with various criminal and civil trials, and we know that he was paying off FBI agents, he was, you know, sitting down to dinner with them, plotting strategy.
Is that right?
Christmas gifts. So, you know, one FBI agent is now, you know, serving 40 years in prison for assisting him on a murder.
That's one of the most fascinating things about the story and the time that I had to take a look at your book, Ms. Murphy, and that is this complicated relationship that these law enforcement agencies, who are all on the same side of the law, you think, had with each other. And I guess part of what happened after 9/11 is that they tried to bring law enforcement offices together so that they would work more complementary instead of working against each other, which it seems like is what happened for so much of the time that Whitey was working.
Yeah, and I think it really goes back to, you know, once it was revealed that Whitey was a longtime informant, and by the way, he disputes that. He doesn't like that word informant.
Sure.
He says he didn't really send anyone to jail. He was more of a strategist.
He prefers snitch.
he likes analyst.
Analyst.
But you know, once it was revealed the depth of his corrupt relationship with certain FBI agents, it created this, as you can imagine, this huge distrust among law enforcement agencies here in Boston. And you had the DEA and the state police working, you know, on their own manhunt. You had the FBI working separately. And it really caused, you know, they weren't sharing tips. They weren't sharing information. There was just sort of this complete sense that, you know, that they couldn't trust each other.
Right. That's crazy.
Still being protected, yes.
That's crazy talk. Did he also have mobsters after him for being an informant?
Well, I mean, I think everybody was after him.
Right.
You know, once he fled, you know, his former, you know, associates who were part of his same gang, you know, some of them were arrested, and they were sitting in court and hearing that Whitey was an informant and seeing these FBI reports of what he had been telling the FBI about not only his rivals in the mafia, but some of his own friends. And they were furious, and they struck deals, and they cooperated, and they led investigators to these secret graves in Boston, you know, where the remains of victims who had been killed in the 70s and 80s were recovered.
This is the voice of author Shelley Murphy on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about her new book about Whitey Bulger, and I imagine there's going to be some sort of a follow-up once the trial concludes later this year or next. I was also fascinated, and it looks like it's coming right out of the movies, to see this guy with safe deposit boxes all over the world with passports and fake IDs. I mean, he was kind of ready at a moment's notice to go underground and hide because he knew one day he'd be indicted, right?
Absolutely, and what I found really fascinating after his capture is the way, you know, he had a lot of aliases, you know, ready to use when he went on the run. But what he ended up doing while he was living in Santa Monica was heading over to Venice Beach or to Palisades Park in Santa Monica and looking for homeless people who looked like him. And he did this with a couple of men where he approached them and paid them for their identities. And he was walking around with a California driver's license with the face of a man who looked like him with, you know.
So that's how he was able just to hang out by the beach for 19 years while being looked for, you know, by everybody?
Well, I think, you know, that and the fact that, you know, I think most of us, if you think, you know, 10 most wanted, you think this really scary looking dude,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, and this guy, he was up there. He's now 83. I mean, he did not look like a gangster. I mean, he had on a fisherman type hat, you know, pulled down over his low to his, you know, forehead, big sunglasses, and he had a beautiful, nice lady on his arm who was sweet as pie, who was just devoted to him. So,
well,
he definitely didn't look scary.
Huh. It is such a fascinating story, and I knew that this would happen, that we had run out of time. Let me just ask you one more question. And again, the name of the book is Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice. It's available everywhere on March 4th. You know, we all saw Zero Dark Thirty and saw how many people were working on trying to find Osama bin Laden. And sometimes it was just good luck. Sometimes you got a tip from somebody. Sometimes it was just gut instinct. Same thing with capturing Whitey Bulger, is you had lots of people working with lots of different information for years and years and years, and eventually they just got a lucky break and were able to find him, right?
Absolutely. I mean, a woman who had befriended Whitey's girlfriend because she thought it was just so wonderful that she used to feed this stray cat in the neighborhood, and that's how she recognized her. She saw her photo, you know, her wanted poster on a CNN report, and said, wow, that's the lady who fed the cat in Santa Monica. And that was
story. Just like always, Kevin, you would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for those meddling kids.
Right? I have one last question for you, Shelley, and that is, did you see the Celtics game last night?
I was working on a Whitey Bulger story, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, Kevin just likes to rub it in because the Lakers beat the Celtics last night.
Just checking.
Great satisfaction.
It would be different if we had Rondo. Just
asking, and then we could get back to Santa Monica.
All right, Shelley, I'm so glad we had you on. Look, let's talk again as the trial gets going. We have so many more questions, but we're all out of time for today. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. We spend all day, every day online, so you don't have to. We put it all together in one tidy package we call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can see all of these videos. I have insomnia, and I am up in the middle of the night a lot.
Yeah.
And I found a song that reminded me of breakdancing. And I thought there should be breakdancing to that song because, as you know, the King of Mexico and I are co-founders of the Jabberwockies. I'm not sure if you guys know.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Congratulations.
It's kind of a tribute to my people. That's all. So I edited that together in the middle of the night. The world's cutest frog is the world's ugliest frog.
How dare you? This frog is adorable.
This is called the world's cutest frog.
Because it is the world's cutest frog.
First of all, it's an ugly little ball of ugly.
Aw.
Second of all, listen to the noise.
That's awesome. How can you hate that's cute little animals cute. And their noises?
If that noise was being made by a toy of some kind or something, you would descend on them with the hounds of hell.
He's a cute little frog, though. That's awesome.
Aw.
No, aw, nothing. What about the goats that yell like humans? This can't be true.
It is. It's real.
This
the
is goats real. That yell like humans. So what you're going to hear in this clip are not humans, but goats. This is a super cut of a bunch of different clips. Now, I question this. I said, it's too human
it's
to
real,
be real.
Dude. It's real. I've heard goats like this.
I've seen them with bad eyes.
There's no human being in any of that.
Well, the girl's laughing.
There's a girl laughing. Okay, because that was really good.
But no, it's not a female goat laughing. No, but it's all of the yellow. Ah, all of that are goats. Doesn't seem possible.
That's alarming.
That's a bad noise, by the way. That is that one you can hate.
Mm-hmm. Here are nine people in a row. They line up and they try to putt into the exact same hole in a golf course. And I'm going to let I'm going to let you decide by their reaction whether they make it or not.
Three, two, one.
They're way too excited.
That's the best moment of their life.
I mean, it is.
That's a pretty phenomenal trick shot in golf, though. Come on.
It is. I agree. And yet, what does it get you? Really? How long did they work on that? I love it.
I don't know. They probably did try it like 150 times before all nine went in.
So Vin Diesel sings Rihanna. I don't know what this is about, but I think it came out on Valentine's Day.
I think he was singing it to his wife. I think this was a gift to his wife.
Oh, my God. There's a giant screen of Rihanna singing. And Vin Diesel is singing along with her.
Oh, now tell me now, tell me now, tell me now, you know. Not really sure how I feel about it. Something in the way you move.
It's kind of weird.
Something in the way you move.
Hey, he's the Iron Giant, man. Watch it. It's not karaoke either. It's just him singing along to the video, but it is awfully strange.
Sunrise weatherman Grant Denyer is a guy who's always wanted to go up in one of those stunt planes, like those Red Bull stunt planes that do 4Gs, 8Gs, 12Gs.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to 4Gs and he changed his mind. He didn't want to do it anymore. And then the guy said, oh, you know, we go up to 12. Do you want to do 8? And he went up to 8, and you'll hear at the end of it, the reporter passed out. In the middle of the report.
I love forces and speed and dynamics. I've been fascinated my whole life to do this. And I don't want to do it anymore.
20 seconds, we're going to go to 8G. There we go. Right, and then we go left. Oh, let's go.
Oh, cut. We don't want to see. All
we
right.
Don't want to see. Cut away. Cut away.
He was passed out.
Yeah, he just slumped down in his seat in the plane, and then the reporters could not get that camera off of him fast enough. But he was fine.
It's a very funny song, The Women of L.A., that you need to see, and how it's guys that come here that are ugly can never get laid. Jimmy Kimmel Live's YouTube challenge, I gave my wife or girlfriend a terrible gift for Valentine's Day, is hilarious.
He's so great.
And Kevin Garnett gets heckled by a Lakers fan. This was last night at the Celtics-Lakers game, and just listen to the guy in the background who's yelling, Kevin, 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 Kevin. And it's unbelievable, the guy's stamina and how long he does it.
And now it's still with that shoulder problem that he's had.
But he's screening better. See the full body contact, which makes Garnett shift, which gives him the chance to roll hard and get position. He wasn't doing that in many of the previous games we've had. He's been slipping out early, which doesn't put the defense.
What a great heckler.
What does he want from Kevin Garnett?
Just not throw him off or something. I don't know. But the weird thing is that I think Dwight Howard's at the free throw line. So I don't even think it's not even him shooting.
God, that's I weird. Hated sitting by him.
Jack
no
White.
No kidding.
Jack White, Record Store Day 2013 ambassador. He takes you to the record store, record plant, and shows you how the actual records are pressed.
We have the 12-inch LP presses for full-length albums. And as you can see, these presses. Pressed that way every day here. And for Record Store Day, you'll notice when you go into a store and you see records.
It's really funny.
See, because every time he starts to tell us how records are made, Lisa, he gets drowned out by the machinery of making records.
Yes, I
and
see.
That's what Jack White is doing.
And finally, the genius of Mike Realm with a Ted remix. It's a remix of the Ted movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
Brady had the chili ground, and Amos screaming mud.
No.
Brady Lynn, Heavenly Lynn,
Tammy Lynn.
Ruby Taylor, Tyler, Camry, Lauren, Jolene, Chantel, Cranny Lynn, Heavenly Lynn,
Tammy Lynn.
Oh, yeah!
It's unbelievable how well that sounds. And you can
like watching the whole movie in about 2 minutes.
It is, yeah. You can see all of these videos in one place at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. K-Rock. Tell me about the woman addicted to bee stings.
TLC, which, Lisa May, you have once again a chance to prove whether you listen or not, stands for what?
It is the, I knew it last week, it's the Freak Show Network.
Yeah, there you go. They have a show called My Strange Addictions that we love, and they feature, well, people with strange addictions. Let's meet our new friend Margaret, shall we?
My name is Margaret, and I'm 53 years old. I live in Morning View, Kentucky, and I'm addicted to stinging myself with bees. I sting myself on my hip, my elbow, on a finger, my ankle, my forehead, on the tip of my nose. I really love stinging myself with bees.
Yeah, she sure does. So what she does is she has beehives out in her yard. She, you know, grows bees like people do, and she just goes out and she sucks them up with a little vacuum cleaner and then takes them out of the tube one at a time with tweezers and just holds them on her skin until they sting her.
Any
questions?
Many. How did she get started? Does she explain that in these clips?
Margaret has been addicted to bee stings for the past 10 years. Her addiction started innocently as a way to relieve her arthritis. In search of relief from the pain, Margaret turned to the beehives in her backyard.
I had read how people have been using it to relieve certain pain symptoms. The first time that I stung myself, it didn't hurt as bad as I thought it would. And it just got easier every time.
But what started as an occasional prick of pain for medical reasons has spiraled into 15 stings a day.
Yeah, 15 times a day she stings herself. She's been doing it for over 10 years. That translates, do the math, kids, to more than 50,000 bee stings in the last 10 years.
And 50,000 dead bees.
Is that true about helping some types of pain?
Yeah, did it help with her arthritis?
She says it does. She says it helps with her arthritis.
I want a second opinion. No offense to our woman.
Her husband is going to make her go to a doctor by the end of this episode to find out what the effect is of all those years of bee stings. Now, what about, that's fine when she's at home because she's got bees now in her backyard. What about when she travels, you guys? What about when she's on the road? She goes out to dinner or something and she needs to get her sting on.
And Margaret never leaves home without a supply.
I carry honeybees around with me in my purse just in case I need a sting throughout the day.
Well, that's a good idea.
No.
Wow.
What?
That's a good idea. She carries bees in her purse in case she ever needs one.
Well, you never know.
She's addicted, you guys. It's like, it would be like she's a smoker and she has to have a cigarette. That's what it's like when she gets the urge to stink.
What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Now, there is a downside, and you you did mention it earlier about the bees that die after they stink, because that's how it works. And she loves her bees.
But every time Margaret stings herself, the honeybee dies. Something Margaret is all too aware of.
Every bee is precious. I get sad when I watch them die. I prefer to get an older bee. The younger bees, they've got their lives ahead of them, and it helps me feel less guilt about killing the bees.
Okay, that's my favorite part of the whole show.
Every bee is not special if you're killing 50,000 of them.
Yes.
Yeah, every bee is precious. She really prefers to use the older bees to sting her because they're going to die, because the younger bees, Kevin, have their whole lives
ahead
of them.
That's true. She's got
a
point.
And that would just be treasure. Now, I want to know, look, I love bees. I'm not afraid of bees. I have plants in my yard specifically to draw bees to the property.
I'm not a fan of bees.
I love them. But I couldn't look at them and tell you which ones are old and which ones are young. I wouldn't be able to call them
that
way.
The old ones have beards.
Well, I guess I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that at all. Well, her husband.
And I'm talking about the female ones.
Her husband has been putting up with this nonsense for a long time, but it's time to have
a husband?
She sure does. It's time to have a sit down with Margaret about, I don't know, maybe there's some, you know, maybe there's, we need a medical opinion on this. It just seems like the kind of a dangerous thing to just be kind of doing on your own out there in the wild. So he tries to have a chat with her about it.
I suppose some doctors might think that this is risky behavior, but I seem to thrive on the bee stings.
I need to find out if this is going to hurt her. She has her own ideas on things. But let's just see what medical science has to say about all this.
I wonder what medical science is going to say. I wonder if they're going to think it's a good idea or not.
I wonder if they're going to go, yes, thumbs up for you.
She does have one defense for the bee stings that she tries out with her husband that I would not have expected, though.
They make me feel better, and when I haven't had a sting for a while, I get cranky.
But I don't want to have you pretty much tearing into the hive at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Because there's been many a morning you've woken up, walked around the house. Simple statement, I would really like to get a sting right about now. It gets to the point wherever we stop somewhere, you're automatically out of the car looking for bees. This is really getting kind of intense. I am concerned about this.
They relieve my anxiety.
Yes, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That guy is not a rocket scientist either, by the way.
All right, here's why she thinks the bees are essential, though, and maybe the husband ought to rethink his questioning of the habit.
They relieve my anxiety, and they relieve so many other symptoms. And you got to admit, after I've had at least 10 stings, the sex is great.
Well, there you go. There's that.
Well, all right. Oh, then, my God. As a husband, you have to support that.
They still have sex.
So he's, what, waiting for her in the bedroom while she's out in the yard trying to get some bees together so she can get some stings happening so that then she can be in the mood for some great sex? Is that what's happening?
And he's inside naked, and then he falls asleep.
Then she brings the bees into the bedroom. Yeah. And then, well, they do go to the doctor, and here's, after examining her, here's what the doctor's recommendation is and how she takes it.
My concern is a couple-fold. One is that over time, you can become allergic, even though for years you've been doing this, and suddenly you swell up and can't breathe.
By the way, how about that? How crazy is that, that you could do it for 10 years, and then all of a sudden, one day you're allergic, the doctor said you could swell up and not be able to breathe. Your throat could close up because of all the venom. Isn't that crazy?
It is, but I don't feel sorry for her.
No, she would deserve it.
Yeah.
She would be. Okay. She's smoking in an oxygen tent is basically
exactly
what she's doing.
Right.
So let's see what the doctor's recommendation is for her.
The other thing is I would recommend once or twice a year just having some blood work done just to make sure that your liver and your kidneys are working properly. We don't know long term what some of the bee sting toxins can do. Would I recommend that you stop? Yes, I would.
How do you think she's going to respond to this news, you guys?
I would guess she's going to say, you know what, doctor, you know, so I agree with you and I'm going to stop.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Let's find out.
I've heard a lot of those concerns before from other people. And, you know, bee stings are not for everybody, but they work for me. I need to continue stinging, but I don't think I'll be increasing my numbers any. Oh. I'll just proceed with caution.
Okay, there you go. So she's just going to stick to 15 bee stings a day, you guys. She's not going to crank it up anymore.
She's already
to the
up to 20, based on since that was filmed, she's already up to 20.
Ladies and gentlemen, your new friend Margaret, who is addicted to bee stings.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Been talking about he's busy shooting in The Dark Knight Rises, so I'll have to give him a pass.
That's
that
a pretty good answer, a pretty good reason, right?
He's... What was that? You heard me.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
For a reason.
What do you think happens?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that either.
I don't think science has an answer for you.
It is the world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Joe Rogan is here, joins us right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz peek. Good morning, Ralph.
Boy, is he here. I've never seen a guy more here.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because he's very animated this morning. He's got a lot of things to say. He's very energetic.
Good.
Have a lot of fun in the office with Joe.
Is the world ending again because of some animal attack?
Okay, he didn't mention that part, but we're just, he's very, very alive today. He's vibrating. He's just right there.
I love Joe. I would have Joe every day. I would have Joe on this show.
He's a fascinating person. Fascinating guy. And one of the best human beings I know. Like a truly decent person.
I don't know him that well. I wouldn't vouch for
him. He's a very good,
I'm not vouching
for that. Good-hearted, decent man.
I don't know.
He is. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Stop it. Hey, should we do show business?
Sure.
Let's do it. Ron Jeremy is continuing his recovery. Good news.
Great.
He's out of the hospital.
How about that?
Ron Jeremy has been released from the hospital, is continuing his recovery at a hotel in Hollywood, according to the New York Daily News.
Like
what are
the
odds
list?
There are any 20-something nubile women in that hotel room? He wants to test out the new heart to see if it can handle the pressure.
All right, let's step it up. I need two of you.
All right, let's add a third. See how far we can press it. Reportedly, Ron lost 45 pounds while in the hospital.
Wow.
I guess major heart surgery will do that to you. You don't really feel like chowing down, unless, of course, your beer mug is just eating an entire burrito in one bite as I'm looking at you. He's over
right
your
in.
Shoulder, just stuffing the entirety of a burrito down his throat.
Yeah, I'm trying to ignore him. Usually he just puts the bag
you can.
In, the whole
He's
bag.
To your back. Yeah. I'm staring at you and over your shoulder. All I can see is this. Like something out of an X-rated film.
I've talked
the way he's taking that burrito.
Extra cheese, extra sour cream, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was deep-throating the burrito?
In essence, he was.
Wow. Yes,
that was my point. That's what I was trying to get across in perhaps a more oblique way.
Was that too on the nose?
No, it was perfect.
Okay.
You guys watch the Shaws of Sunset?
No.
No.
No one does, right?
What is it?
That's a Ryan Seacrest production, isn't it, Ralph?
It is indeed. It is a reality show about these folks who live on Sunset. They're a high-end, wealthy family that come from...
It's the kids of the family, right?
Yeah, right. It's they're the Kardashians.
Yes.
But instead of being Armenian, these are Middle Eastern...
Persian.
Iranian or something, yeah.
And unknown.
And unknown, but they have their own show because they're party kids. You know, they spend a lot of money and they drive the fancy cars. And,
okay.
You know, it's the fodder for reality television. Well, Mike from Shaws of Sunset did Playgirl.
That still exists?
Yes, Playgirl is still a thing.
You didn't know that.
And he wanted to strip nude to show women that Persian men are the real deal, he said. Let me tell you a little something. Let me fill you a little fact of life, Mike. Women aren't picking up copies of Playgirl magazine. Sorry to disappoint you, but their readership is largely non-female.
Wrong venue to prove that point.
I guess no one broke that to him. Here's the thing. On top of it, his fee for the nude photo shoot, $12,000. That's low rent even by Playgirl standards.
It really is, isn't it?
So,
I know it sounds like a lot to you and me, but...
For a nude photo shoot.
Right.
Where Playboy will spend,
right,
you know, quarter of a mil.
Right.
Yeah,
12 grand.
It's not ideal. Mm. But at least all those gay dudes out there will know the Persian men are the real deal, Mike, and that's all that really matters. You're going to be getting some interesting propositions. I know we don't do a lot of Broadway news, much to Lisa's chagrin.
I could use more Broadway news.
But the New York Times reports that Shia LaBeouf, who was preparing for his role... His debut on Broadway in the revival of the play Orphans is no longer with the project.
Oh, you're kidding.
He has been dumped from the production.
Oh, I don't care.
New York Times claims the director of the show is concerned with Shia's performance choices. I love that euphemism. Alec Baldwin will also still be starring in the show. Previews are going to begin March the 19th. No word on who will replace Shia's character, but he's out.
Kevin, we're not making fun of you with the moments with. We're just spotlighting your performance choices.
That's right. Performance choices. Meanwhile, Jane Lynch of Glee is heading to Broadway. She is going to play Miss Hannigan in the Annie, the revival of Annie on that show.
I'm sure she'll be great. She seems to be great in everything.
Yeah. It's not great to be someone like Jane Lynch and go off and do a sitcom like Glee and become wildly popular, and then have the ability to go off and star in a Broadway show like that. And a lot of actors are doing that now. Must be a big kick.
Is that, would you call that talent?
I don't recognize it. Yes.
Talent.
Huh. Yes.
I should get me some of that.
You should. I think you can get it at Costco now. You can buy it in bulk. It comes in a big drum.
I need it in bulk.
Just get in and just roll around in it. And speaking of talent, thanks for the segue. America's Got Talent in the news. You know, Sharon Osbourne famously quit the show because NBC did not treat her son right, in her opinion, regarding that Stars and Stripes reality show. So she quit as the judge, Howard Stern, and who's that bald effer? Howie Mandel. Coming back as judges. But they needed a third, and they have announced it's going to be former Spice Girl Mel B. will be the new judge sitting on the panel when the show heads to New Orleans for its first set of auditions on March the 4th.
Does that make anyone want to watch?
No.
Me either.
But she's not. It doesn't make me not want to watch. She's not repugnant in any way. But
agreed.
Seems like just sort of a serviceable replacement. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Rickman. How good an actor is Alan Rickman?
In everything
awesome.
He does.
I love him always.
Yeah, me too. Even in bad movies, he's good.
He's not in a lot of bad movies, at least that I can remember. He's mostly in good stuff.
Those are the only ones I see, and I've seen him a lot.
That's true. You would know. If he's in them, you would know. You ever seen that Love Actually?
Yes, I just saw it again.
Boy, is he great in that.
Wonderful. He sure is.
Terrific. And, of course, Die Hard and Dogma, Kevin Smith's movie Dogma.
Sure.
He's great in that, too. He is 67 years old today. Record company executive David Geffen is 70 years old. We mentioned it earlier today, but if you haven't seen that Eagles documentary about the history of the band the Eagles, owe it to yourself to check it out. It's a fascinating story, and David Geffen does not come off well.
But to his credit, he agreed to be interviewed about all the lawsuits on camera. It's showing on Showtime this month if you want to check it out.
Took his lumps. Got to give him that. He's 70 years old today. William Peter, you know what cracks me up about Geffen and their longtime manager, Irving Azoff?
And all these guys, when you look at the old footage, like in the 70s stuff, they got the wild hair, and you can tell they're all coked up, and they got whores everywhere.
Allegedly.
And then they flash forward to the current day interviews, and they all have like three-piece suits on and close-cropped hair and the little wireframe glasses. And they've just become such corporate douchebags.
Well, people grow up. People get older.
But you have to become a corporate douchebag. You don't come from being like a cool rocker guy to just a button-down corporate douchebag.
Apparently you do.
Apparently you do. William Peterson, 60 years old today. Kelsey Grammer's 58. Actor Jack Coleman celebrates his 55th birthday. Billy Baldwin of the acting Baldwin family turns 50. Jennifer Love Hewitt is 34. Ashley Green of the Twilight films turns 26. Ellen Page, also 26 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So I lost yet another bet yesterday when I was convinced that Joe Rogan was dead, right? He's not dead.
First of all, how dare you?
No, that's Beans, dare you? I'm right here. Well, he was sad.
That's Beans. Aww. He was very sad. That's Beans' go-to. Is yesterday we were supposed to have Joe Rogan on the air, and he didn't show up. And Bean, who this is 100% of the time his response, he says, I wonder if he's dead.
It was,
and I don't know if he's kidding.
But not immediately. I didn't say that immediately. It was like 5 minutes in after he was supposed to be here. Then I was convinced he was dead.
Because
Joe's a reliable guy.
Yeah, and I have you guys down to a science. I know how to get here. I have to leave here 2 hours before I'm supposed to be here.
Oh, wow. That sucks.
And I have to make special routes. I know how to go. You got to avoid certain areas of the highway.
Yeah.
You got to go down Sepulveda sometimes. You got to make your move. I know I got you guys down. It was my error. I thought it was Thursday. I thought we had agreed to Thursday.
Well, apparently,
and by the way,
we have.
It is.
we are totally fine, Joe. We don't blame you. We understand scheduling and whatnot happens. But it was funny all the different ways on Twitter that people were supposing that you died. I mean, many people. You know, there were some that thought it was going to be, you know, some sort of an ugly mushroom overdose. Others thought that you got trapped in a sensory deprivation tank, or as one listener called it, a vampire chamber. I mean, I was hoping, just because you're the guy who's been whipping the rest of the world into a frenzy for years over all these animals that can kill you, I was hoping that's what happened. Some sort of a Brazilian penis snake or something like that came out of the ground and killed you. Because that would be the ultimate for you, is to die at the hands of one of these creatures that you've been fearing for so long.
I don't think that would be the ultimate. I think the ultimate is an asteroid that kills everybody. So that way you don't have to worry about people missing you.
Oh, I see. So everybody that you know or cares about you is also gone.
Just a 17-mile-wide chunk of metal from the sky.
But what were your thoughts? And I know that you're a reasonable guy, and I'm sure you didn't read too much.
How dare you patronize me like that? I'm absolutely not
insane.
Reasonable.
What were your thoughts about the asteroid that got so close to Earth the other day, at the same day that the meteor came down in Russia, on the same day as the meteor came down in San Francisco? It was like space was invading for a minute.
It was really spooky. It's possible at any time, and that what people have to realize is, like, those are two unrelated incidences.
Yeah,
the San Francisco one and the Russian one were different, and they were different from the one that was the big asteroid that passed inside the outer band of satellites.
Right.
I mean, people don't realize how close you're talking about a world-ending event that we just missed.
Yes,
and they found one which in 93 years will hit. This is really recent, and so I don't know.
It is.
Damn it.
Hot podcast. Show.
It's the problem. I'm too comfortable with you people.
God,
I
used to
hate
his podcast.
This. It's so crazy that you can't use certain words. It's 2013.
We know.
We need to jump ship, K-Rock. We need to do this. We need to get on the internet.
Listen, we had one of the big brains, a lady from JPL, on with us Friday, and we were asking her. We're like, look, congratulations, first of all, that you guys know these things are coming, even though it was an amateur astronomer that found this one that almost hit the Earth the other day.
Almost all of them, by the way.
Yeah. Right. We said, congratulations that you know they're coming. But seriously, Kevin, you remember this. We tried to pin her down. We're like, what is the plan? But she's like, well, we just want to make sure we have plenty of advance notice. We want to make sure we know they're 10 years out or something like that. Well, you're not telling us what you're going to do if one is coming. I don't know that they have a plan.
No, she said, because I asked her about Armageddon, the movie. They're going to send somebody up and put a nuke in it and split it in half. She said they have technology, laser technology or whatever, that if they go out far enough, they don't have to move it just a tiny, tiny bit that far.
Change the
out.
Trajectory so it gets further away from Earth.
And it misses completely.
So entirely theoretical, though.
Yeah,
that's
let's
my
get
point.
To work on it.
That's, yeah. Yes. Seriously, tell me more about this 93 years thing. Is this going to be one of those deals that's going to wipe out, like, North America if it hits or something?
Yes. Oh, it'll be a continent killer.
Yeah, it's a big one. If they're correct,
that's what
I love
about Rogan. Rogan always has a way the world's going to end.
I know. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying.
Always different.
It's going to end for us, no matter what.
Yes,
we're all finite, right? But this the scary thing about this this Russian flyover is that we got to see it for the first time. We got to see the
right.
impacts.
Yeah, that was cool.
We got to see like windows shatter and see the boom and. And you're like, whoa.
How
this
much
is
time did you spend
time?
On YouTube watching all of those
videos?
A
whole day of my life. A full day of my life. Like, if you, like, count every video that I've seen, all the things that I've read about it, yeah, I became absolutely obsessed. I think that that's one of the weirdest things about our life is that we exist in our own little silly world of culture and our silly world of cities and
it's
traffic.
Impenetrable.
Yeah. But,
as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah. We're listening to the radio. We're going to get home and watch American Idol. The finals are tonight. The universe does not give an F you. You know the rest of the letters
yeah.
about what you like or don't like. You are on some sort of strange ball that's spinning through the universe, and it is never discussed. You will discuss Kim Kardashian's fake butt. You will discuss which one is the biggest bitch on Beverly Hills Housewife and who should get sued. You will discuss all these things, but you will never discuss the fact that you are living in space until it literally falls down and hits the ground near you.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, whoa, hold on. What is this?
I agree with Joe, by the way.
Why
I don't
weren't
think
we talking
we,
about this? We're in a spaceship,
we
a convertible spaceship. An organic convertible spaceship flying through the universe, and there's rocks out there. And they come down, and the only thing that protects us is air. And they burn up in the air because they get hot, hopefully, but a lot don't. And the ones that don't, they can change the way the oceans are.
Yeah, it's yeah, we're going down.
Out
we're going down.
There's hundreds of thousands of them, by the way. If it wasn't for Jupiter, Jupiter is our bodyguard.
Is that
in,
right?
In
I didn't realize Jupiter was yeah. standing guard
well,
at the door.
Jupiter has a massive amount of mass, and between Jupiter and Mars is this asteroid belt of death. It's just rocks, just so many gigantic, huge continent killers, hundreds of thousands of them floating around. But they all get sucked into Jupiter because the mass is so big. Jupiter has so much gravity. So
Jupiter's a whore.
It's a slut, dirty slut for rocks.
Just sucking in everything.
It's a rock
just
whore. Sucking every rock it can get a hold of. Just big explosions all over its face. Oh, give me a rock, you dirty bitch.
So every day we should get up and we should bow
heads
to thanks to Jupiter, right?
Jupiter saved
for saving
us.
Our asses.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, look at the moon because the moon has no atmosphere.
Look at the moon, Kevin. From, look at the moon.
From those rocks coming through, it's just littered with impacts. You just wonder, like, how many of them we're avoiding because of our air and atmosphere. Like shooting stars are that. If there was no atmosphere, shooting stars would all be impacts. If everywhere every day you'd be
okay,
like boom,
but we
boom.
Do have, but there is an atmosphere.
Yes, we're very fortunate.
Okay,
but it's not enough. It's not
it's
enough
been
for
enough
the
so far.
It's been enough for the small ones, but not enough for the continent killers. And in fact, there's some really interesting evidence that's come up over the last couple years about this volcanic glass, this nuclear glass that they found in the strata of the Earth at about 12,000, 13,000 years all over Europe, all over different parts of the world. And by finding this glass all in the same place, they're pretty sure there was massive meteor showers that hit the Earth around 12,000, 13,000 years ago, where big parts of the country, big parts of the world, rather, whether it's Europe or whether it's Asia, big parts were nailed by these giant rocks that came down from the sky going like 45,000 miles an hour and literally left the same type of glass residue that exists after nuclear tests. So they have this stuff
wow.
that they found. They dig it up, this green glass, this nuclear glass. And they're like, okay, this is like really good evidence that there's probably been a massive life-changing experience on this planet.
How long ago?
12 to 13,000 years ago. That like
so
we were.
So
all,
you're saying don't pay your taxes this year, basically.
Well,
is what
I'm
you're
saying is it's very fascinating that we are so convinced that this is a permanent setup that we've sort of established.
Yeah.
With these knuckleheads with their houses in Malibu, like on the water, hoping that that's not going to change. I mean, you are talking about the biggest gamble of all time, and the reality is, until the last X amount of thousand years, we constantly moved around, and the reason why we had to. In order to stay alive is the climate changes everywhere. It changes all over the place. Antarctica used to be a green place. Greenland used to literally be green. There was no ice. They have maps of Antarctica from like the 1500s that they believe that people at one point in time knew that there were places that just got bad. North America, like 13,000 years ago, 14,000 years ago, was half of it was covered in a mile-high sheet of ice.
That's why I didn't live here then. Listen,
it changes. I mean,
Joe Rogan. What I love about Joe, the dichotomy is he believes that we're all going to die today, probably.
No, I don't.
And yet, this weekend will be very funny doing stand-up.
But it's not that I believe we're going to die. I think we have to wake up to realize what's really going on. And we have a problem with getting complacent with what we experience on a day-to-day basis.
I'm ahead in the establishing.
Yeah,
I'm
a lot of people
guy.
Are. A lot of people like
but
to put those blinders
on.
Hold that thought, Lisa May.
Let me tell you. Let me just leave you with this. This is a really trippy thing that someone said on Twitter. They said, "Wonder if the human innovation and all the things that people have invented is really the Earth trying to inoculate itself from asteroids by creating a smart being that's going to stop them."
We are talking to doomsday prepper Joe Rogan here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I didn't understand that at all, but we'll try.
I'm trying to do the plug here, Joe.
Oh, okay, sorry.
City National Grove of Anaheim is where Joe's going to be this Friday night. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. We'll be right back with Joe after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 29 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Ladies and gentlemen, we get off the air, all they do is rant and rave about the man. It's crazy. They go nutty. They go start talking about chemtrails and
conflict minerals.
They're very different off the air.
Joe Rogan is performing at the National Grove of Anaheim, the City National Grove of Anaheim, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.
With the great Joey Diaz. If you've never seen Joey Diaz before, yeah. You must. There's a few things you need to experience in your life. Joey Diaz is one of them.
But let me just vouch for Joe Rogan's stand-up, like you need that. But if not the best stand-up out there.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. Terrific. I really appreciate that. It's very nice. I loved you doing your your shows too. Those April Fool's shows. Sorry, I'm coughing on something here. Yeah, those are amazing, man. Those shows are fantastic. Such a great vibe in the air.
It's a lot of fun.
And the fact that you guys do it for a great cause, you do it. It's breast cancer. Is that what it is?
One of them.
Breast cancer and Wounded Warriors.
When you have a great show like that, that's also a charity show. There's like this extra good vibe in the air. That is a really, really fun show.
Also, the Cedar Sinai Medical Center for infants.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, we really look forward to it.
Here's what I remember from you, Joe. I remember dying laughing and then seeing you come off stage and you went, I just broke my hand.
I know.
I thought I did.
It's all swollen and
pretty
mangled.
Sure I broke it.
You smacked it on the chair.
Yeah, I went
right?
wacky.
When you were gesturing.
You did go wacky.
I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what bit it was. There was some ape-like movements that I was really involved with. And I went crazy.
All
and,
I remember
and smacked
is
my hand
green beret sperm. That's all I remember. If that can send you back to the joke, it was.
Well, that was the whole bit was about that my wife got pregnant when we weren't trying.
Right.
It was because we did the pullout method, and I'm like, even if you think you pulled out, that there are some green beret sperm that live on the tip of your penis that have other plans. They don't care about what you want to do with your life and how you want to get up in the morning. And I like to wait
to sleep
until
at night.
The sun comes in. No. You screaming baby, son. You got a whole new reality.
And they're wearing little green beret hats, too. That's my favorite part about it.
They stand on the tip of your penis, and then they just jump anytime they see where the vagina is. So you don't ever have a chance to pull them out.
Part of the reason you're going to be down in Anaheim is because UFC 157 is going to be in Anaheim this weekend.
Well,
we
yes,
had
it is, Bean.
Rhonda on yesterday, and I think she wants me. I'm pretty sure
Powerful.
She loves me. She's awesome.
You know why? Because you're a big guy, and she would love to throw you around. If she can get you comfortable enough where she would, like, come on, Bean, let me toss you around a little. And she's going to use you as a training implement.
I sort of want her to beat me up.
Yeah, I want to be her chew toy. She's amazing.
I hear you. She's a cool person, too. I've had her on my podcast.
Cool.
She's a very fun, nice, genuine person.
And this is the first UFC that's ever been headlined by a woman.
Not only headlined by a woman, but headlined by a woman where on the undercard you have former light heavyweight champion Lyoto Machida taking on former two weight class champion of pride, Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson held the 183 and the 205 pound weight category
at the same
simultaneously.
Time.
Do you know what kind of an unusual individual you have to be a badass champion in two weight classes at the same time in arguably one of the most dangerous organizations that's ever existed in the face of mixed martial arts? They had stomps and head kicks when you're on the ground, soccer kicks when you're on your knees.
Oh, stuff that's not allowed in the UFC.
Gangster techniques were allowed in Pride, and they fought in ropes. I mean, there was no cages. Yeah, it was a totally different vibe. Dudes
they'd
would
let
fall out
animals
of the ropes
loose,
and push you back in.
They let animals and bears loose.
Dan Henderson is an all-time great savage of all the savage men that have existed.
But he's
on the undercard.
But then you got Lyoto Machida, who's just going to stand there in his pose and wait for his moment.
No, he doesn't just wait for his moment. He uses the best strategy for the whatever the opponent presents. So if the opponent is a type of opponent like when he fought Ryan Bader, here's a perfect example. He fought Ryan Bader, who's a very good fighter, but he's very young in the world of striking.
Right.
And he is a very good wrestler, but he just did not have the striking prowess to deal with Machida. So all Machida does is get him out of his comfort zone, move away from him enough so that he loses his sense of what's safe and what's not safe, and he takes a chance. And when he takes a chance, blam, he counters him.
Is that what's this weekend then? What's that fight like?
Well, it's a very interesting fight because, first of all, Dan Henderson has serious Greco-Roman skills. He's a very good wrestler, and his tie-up and his clinch is excellent. And if he can close the distance and get the fight into the clinch, he can do a lot of damage up against a cage. That's something he didn't have in Pride as well. Like, Randy Couture established that style of fighting, like getting a guy up against the cage and smashing them, and you could really weaken a guy significantly like that. And then also Henderson has the ability to knock anyone out with one punch.
Yeah.
He's got such insane punching power in both his right and his left hand, because he knocked out Vanderlei with his left hand. It's just his right hand is so powerful, and the stance that he chooses, a little bit of it sort of negates his left hand because he keeps it up high, and he keeps his right hand tucked because it's just this nuclear missile that he has. I mean, if you had a punch that you know is going to knock out 99% of the humans on the planet if you hit him in the chin, you just go, well, forget about all that other stuff. I'm just going to hit you with this.
Does he
and
beat
that's
Machida?
His strategy. He might beat Machida, but Machida might beat him. I think it's a very interesting fight. It's a very interesting fight stylistically, and if you love the art of mixed martial arts, it really has all the elements in there, because if Henderson is not like getting countered, does he decide to take the fight to the ground?
Right.
You know, and Henderson has a very underrated submission game, as does Machida. You know, who knows what strategy these guys are going to employ.
And you're saying that's not the headline fight.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's
the headlining fight is chicks.
That's crazy.
It's two chicks. It's the first openly gay chick against the hottest chick on the planet who can kick
I'm not
ass.
Comfortable with pretty girls getting hit, by the
Strange.
Way. I don't know. Am I not evolved enough
luckily,
to be able to just appreciate them as athletes? You know what I mean? I'm uncomfortable with seeing a woman get hit, even by another woman who's, you know, consensual.
Well, did you ever see Gina Carano versus
Cyborg? Oh, yeah.
That'll make you uncomfortable.
I was really uncomfortable with that as well.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
And I know that it's their choice and they're empowered and they have every right to do it and they enjoy it and it's voluntary and all that. I know all of that, but there's still something that makes me feel like I'm the dude and I need to protect that pretty woman. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's
and you're the guy to do it.
That's a weakness
I am the guy
on
to
your
do
part,
it.
Son.
I know. No, I agree.
They're going to come for you when they have torches and the electricity's out.
I totally agree. Listen, let me give the plugs real quick because unfortunately we're out of time. Joe Rogan is the man. City National Grove of Anaheim tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And of course, UFC 157 at the Honda Center. But check this out too. Joe Rogan Live from the Tabernacle, available for just $5 through joerogan.net. And of course, Joe's very popular podcast, which just gets better and bigger every single week. Joe, you are the best. I'm so glad you had time for us this week. Thank you, my friend.
And you are, man. You are. You are. Thank you, guys. I love you guys.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Just not funny. K-Rock.
I think I could hang out with Joe Rogan all day, every day.
He's the best. He's so fun.
He'll be fine.
Dr. Drew is on the phone, you guys. Dr. Drew on call, airing weeknights at 9 on HLN. And, of course, Loveline here on K-Rock 5 nights a week. Hey, Doc. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for the time. I wanted to have you on in particular, and I hope this is not a sensitive topic for you, because with the death of your friend Mindy McCready last week, we have been deluged here at the Kevin and Bean Show with people who are like, hey, way to go, Dr. Drew, way to kill another one. And I just get so upset when people say that, because, well, I want to let you explain why that's unfair criticism, Doc.
Well, thanks, Bean. It is terribly painful. I talked to Mindy about 10 days before she died, and we were doing everything we could. Well, I had spent a lot of time talking to her about getting into a hospital. I hadn't seen her in years. So she's not my patient.
Right.
She was actually doing rather well, had sort of put her life back together, got a stable relationship with her boyfriend, had her kids back. Then he kills himself, and she was just shattered by that. She was in such pain. It was so difficult to hear her and speak to her. She was really suffering. And I convinced her to go in the hospital, but she was so flipped out about stigma and judgment of the press and people they think. And I said, look, it's a mental health facility. It'll be confidential. Don't worry. No one has to find out. 24 hours later, the press is feeding on it. Wow. And she leaves the hospital prematurely and kills herself.
Ugh.
That it's death by stigma, guys. It is sickening. And part of this BS of judging people who get treatment because they die is part of that stigma.
I agree.
Addiction, advanced addiction has the same prognosis as cancer. If I did a show called Cancer House and people died, you go, oh, at least they got a few good years, and no surprise. It's no surprise with this disease, too. I want to string together all the footage of Shelley telling the patient, you know you're going to die of this disease if you don't actively engage in treatment every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, that's the door when they get to you.
Absolutely. I mean, look, they might be dead already if they hadn't done celebrity rehab. You see people at the lowest point of their lives and do everything you can to help, and that's the one thing I try to make people understand about your show, is it's not just they're on TV and then you release them back out into the wild and you never talk to them again. You and your staff do everything you can to stay in touch with them, to coordinate with other physicians in other places where they live so they can continue to get treatment. I mean, I really do feel like you're their greatest advocate, Dr. Drew, and that's why I think it's so unfair when people come down on you when something like this happens.
Well, Bean, I appreciate it, because it is hard, because I do put my heart and soul into it, and we do care for these people for long periods of time. That's why I called Mindy 10 days ago when I knew she was in trouble. I mean, she reached out to me. We're a resource for them. Now, she didn't choose to do what I told her in terms of ongoing addiction treatment, but
right.
I can't force people to do that. I can't force them to do it. I wish I could. I wish I could feel more responsible. I wish I was more directly involved, because I don't think this would have happened if I'd been there.
I'm uncomfortable, though, with the fact that Bean and I both feel very much protective of you, and we're trying to make sure that everybody understands the real truth. I would rather be attacking you. That's more fun.
I know that, Kevin, and I'm sorry to take the fun away from you. It makes you feel so uncomfortable for a couple of weeks. But we'll get back to the usual fare.
We're on your side, just so you know. Both of us.
And I'm glad you had a chance to talk about that on the radio, because a lot of our listeners...
It's horrible. Painful experience all the way through. It's just
and the last thing anyone needs is Richard Marx making fun of you on Twitter. That's not good for anybody, right? That's ridiculous.
All
right. Let's move on. And we have one other doctor question for you real quick. And Kevin is the problem here.
How dare you?
Kevin was in last week and he had been sick. He's been sick on and off for a couple weeks, as a lot of people has. As we've talked about, Dr. Drew, this has been a terrible cold and flu season all over the country, right? Well, Kevin came in and was telling everybody, I'm not contagious, you guys. Don't even. I know that I've been sick and I know that I sound like hell, but I promise you, I am not contagious. I am fine. Fast forward to holiday weekend. Ralph Garman is at home throwing up for 3 solid days because he was hanging out in the studio with K-Rock's Kevin.
Or he got it from somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Right.
But what? Dr. Drew, here's the question, because I, honest to God, had no idea if I was still contagious. But that's what you say. That's what you say. When you're in a public place and somebody says, are you sick? You go, I'm not contagious.
Well, you know what's
interesting? How does anyone know if they're contagious or not?
You really don't. But the rule, a way to think about it is, if you're still in the early stages of the illness, actually before you even get sick, but certainly when the symptoms are climbing, you're definitely contagious. When you feel better and they're sort of resolving, like you feel it's kind of getting better, the right nose is going away, the sore throat is gone. I think if you have a sore throat and if you have a fever, if you have diarrhea, if you have any active symptoms, consider that all producing virus. And here's the craziness about you guys asking me. You know who the worst perpetrators of this are?
Doctors.
Physicians, yeah. Doctors.
Really?
We are notorious not just for not being careful about ourselves, but also not washing our hands between caring for patients. We are the worst. And
wow.
We try, but we actually are one of the leading causes of the vector of disease moving forward.
Have you ever told somebody like I did that you're not contagious when you had no idea?
I tell Catherine with that.
All right. So the rule of thumb, though, is if you have any of those symptoms that you mentioned, the sore throat or the fever, or the diarrhea or something like that, that means active virus, and it's likely that you are contagious. Is that fair to say?
You are contagious. When things are resolving, you don't have to completely resolve to be not contagious, but you've got to be well on your way to resolution before the virus is no longer shed.
And should we or should we not be making out at work?
Are you a Lisa or are you a Bean?
You should get clarification.
Yeah, Kevin just makes that with everybody. He's non-discriminatory in that. All right,
don't
that's great.
Out.
That's great advice. Love Line Sunday to Thursday nights, 10 to midnight here on K Rock. Dr. Drew On Call airs weeknights at 9 on HLN, and don't forget the Dr. Drew podcast and the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, both available at drdrew.com and adamcarolla.com. You're the best, Doc. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, guys.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
She can't put that back on me. Like, oh, isn't that funny when she's the one with the speech impediment?
It's so funny.
It's Ralph.
Hi, your cat. There's a musical black kiss. A comic has ever and
I'm not sure she sounds
That's
like
exactly
that.
What she sounds like.
Oh, it's a bit of an exaggeration.
I was talking to my mom in my new car. And we jumped in my car. And she put her things on and in her seatbelt.
Give that girl a respirator. All right, let's talk about show business news. Good news, gentlemen. We were just talking about her the other day. It was her birthday. Salida Ebanks, former Victoria's Secret model. She may still work for Victoria's Secret, actually. She is single again.
I got dibs.
Yeah, she was dating Terrence J., formerly of 106th and Park, for a year. But now it's all over between the two of them. And she is single and ready to mingle. You know how we know? Because she's been seen... with? Who do you think she's been seen with? What other celebrity she's been seen with?
Jason Sudeikis.
Lindsay
Lohan.
It's along those lines of one of those guys who gets
Wilmer Valderrama.
Nope, you're getting closer.
John Mayer.
You're narrowing in.
John Mayer, another good guess.
No. Bad hair.
Russell Brand.
David.
Come on.
Come on, help me
Bring
here.
Bring it. You're so close.
The dude from Rules of Engagement.
I don't know that.
David Spade?
Oh. She was seen at her blowout 30th birthday party dancing on tables for David Spade.
Yeah!
You did it, Kevin.
Shut up.
Wow.
Sort of. Lisa sounds like the mom at the end of a race for the Special Olympics.
That's how I feel. Yes.
And I didn't
with
win.
Her arms outstretched and Kevin
you
comes,
did it,
ah,
Kevin.
I can't. Just like coming in ninth across the finish line. And she's there. You did it, Kevin.
Right, but all of the other contestants and the audience has left because I'm that late.
They're all at Shakey's getting their bunch of lunch celebrating.
Honey, it's not medals. Important if you win. It's just that you showed up and you tried.
And you finished somehow.
You did it, Kevin. Good for you. You're
David
just like everybody
Spade.
Else. David Spade, yeah. That's unfortunate.
He's a douche.
Big news. Us Weekly Magazine is covering it extensively. The Friends are getting back together. Well, a couple of them.
I'm so tired of hearing this story.
Courtney Cox is going to be on Matthew Perry's comedy Go On. And in turn, he has announced he's going to do a stint on her show Cougar Town. It's a semi-Friends reunion.
Mm. It's not anything like that.
Everybody get excited.
I don't understand this one either, Ralph, because lots of actors work on lots of shows, and sometimes they work together and they work together before. Why is this a big deal?
But
like,
they're Friends!
I know, but it's two out of the six.
But
that
these
happened.
Are the Friends!
Right, but why is this significant?
It's the Friends!
that's the answer?
I think that is the real answer.
If I were the cast of Friends, I would quickly do a reunion show just so that everyone would stop talking about, are they going to do a reunion?
Shut the F up?
Shut the F up. Every time two of them are in the same room, there's a magazine released. It's nuts. America's Got Talent has replaced their missing judge. Sharon Osbourne quit last season, leaving just Howard Stern and Howie Mandel. Now it's been announced that Spice Girl, Melanie B, will be the new judge on that show.
Which one was she? Sporty?
She was scary.
Scary.
She was scary. She's still hot. They're all still hot. They still look good, that bunch.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent, X Factor, America. No, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, there's too many.
There's too many.
And I'm going to argue that America does not have talent yet. I'm going to say the whole premise is false.
They should call it America's Out of Talent.
Right.
And looks like Luke Skywalker will be returning to a Cineplex near you. Entertainment Tonight talked to Mark Hamill, and they were addressing the fact that Harrison Ford had been rumored to be in negotiations to return for Star Wars No. 7. And Hamill confirmed that he, too, is in talks.
Nope.
To come back to the franchise, along with Carrie Fisher, the original Big Three.
Hope she's not in a bikini.
Making some appearance in the 7th Star Wars film. Mark said he also hopes that Billy Dee Williams and Anthony Daniels, the actor who played C-3PO, will also be joining them.
Nope.
So get as many of the cast members back together again. Hey, Kevin, come on. You got to have those guys in there.
That's Dwan. I love him.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
I didn't realize Dwan was just hanging in the back of the room just saying nope.
On the phone.
I thought maybe you were pushing a button over there that was a sound bite.
Nope.
I guess I was wrong. I stand corrected. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Rickman, he is 67 years old today. Spectacular actor.
Great everything.
David Geffen is 70 years old. Of course, the record company executive started with Asylum Records, went on to form his own label. William Peterson is 60 years old today. Kelsey Grammer turns 58. Jack Coleman of Heroes fame is 55. Billy Baldwin from the Baldwin acting family is 50. Jennifer Love Hewitt's 34. Ashley Green from Twilight is 26. Ellen Page celebrates her 26th birthday as well. And Corbin Bleu from High School Musical, he is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Did you guys realize that K-Rock Day is coming up at Snow Summit this year on Friday, March 1st, which is next week, right around the corner?
Friday, March 1st is next week?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
What's happening? I got to get my Christmas shopping done.
You can get a pair of lift tickets and board rentals for K-Rock Day at Snow Summit if you call right now. Five winners, starting with caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067 here at the world-famous K-Rock.
Hi, it's Ralph.
Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of winter sports and March, I was just giving a heads up about this, and I got to say I'm sorely tempted.
Sorely tempted to do what?
The Anaheim Ducks, your Anaheim Ducks of the NHL, are offering a free adult beginners clinic for those who have never been on the ice before, how to play ice hockey.
That sounds like fun.
One of my dreams, one of my all-time dreams was learn how to play ice hockey. And as a kid in Philly, hockey, it's a big hockey town, Philadelphia, and I played a ton of street hockey and even floor hockey.
Can you ice skate?
I can skate a little bit.
All right.
I used to go, you know, recreationally a little bit. I can't skate like a hockey player. Those guys are superhuman. But I always wanted to get on the ice and play. But they have these pickup leagues for adults and stuff.
Right.
I was always so intimidated by guys who had some experience.
Right.
You know? But to take a three class session on the beginnings, the fundamentals of ice hockey, I think would be awesome.
But you don't think it would be like learning the rules and stuff that you already know?
No, it's practical. I mean, you suit up, and they've got the equipment, and they've got rental skates available, and you go out there, and they teach you the
If we can videotape it.
The rudimentaries of ice hockey.
Only if we can videotape it.
And I went over to I saw it on the Ducks website. If you go to the Ducks website, if you're interested, you can go. I think it's limited, obviously limited seating. But
is that, so he doesn't, are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
No, I'm a Flyers fan, Kevin, but I'm just saying, I was over there on the Ducks website, and they had this clinic listed that they're doing, I guess, as a favor to their fans. But, you know, it'll probably fill up in no time, and there's a limited space. But I just thought that would be fascinating to do.
Only if we can videotape it.
Well, first of all, I would be awesome at it.
Right,
so
that's why you don't mind videotaping.
There wouldn't be much for you to see in the video chat in way of like, ho, look at that.
Oh, yeah, but we're willing to take that chance.
Because I would just be crushing slappers and shooting wristers upstairs all day long.
Wait, I thought you said you'd never done it before.
He hasn't.
I've played a bunch of street and floor hockey, as I mentioned before, and I was quite good at that. So you add in the ice skating, I think I would be pretty much unstoppable.
No worries about videotaping.
I'd be like a Claude Giroux type, I'm thinking.
Sure.
He's the actor from The Artist, right?
No.
That's the captain of the Flyers.
Stole up your Flyers.
Come
did
on,
you
B,
see the Flyers-Pens game last night?
I didn't.
One of the greatest hockey games I've ever seen.
Now the Kings were beating the Calgary Flames.
This was a back-and-forth battle. The Pens tied it up with about 3 minutes left in the third period, 5-5. Looks like it was going to overtime.
5-5? Did they both pull their goalies at the beginning of the game?
No, it was. These goals were not cheap. Either. These were awesome goals. And then Voracek scores the game winner with a minute and 30 left in the third period. It was just spectacular.
So, do you have anything you want to talk about? Or
actually, I do. I have a couple minutes here with the
show.
We should
do hockey talk every day.
We should do hockey
talk every
day. Except
for I think you and I are the only two that would enjoy
it. I also would like to talk about my new discovery, which apparently some people have been hip to prior to me. And I had heard people talking about it. And I was like, that sounds just goofy. Why is that so wonderful? Are you familiar with the Uber service?
No.
Uber? This is not a promotional thing. I'm not being paid for this. I just experienced it this morning, and now I'm pitching a tent for Uber.
No, I don't know what that is.
Uber, silly mortals. Uber.
Right.
It's the wave of the future.
Of what?
I needed a ride to work today. I didn't have my car. I needed to come into work today.
Okay.
And ordinarily I would call a cab.
Right.
but Uber is the next generation.
It's a flying machine?
It's a flying machine. It's a jetpack.
What is it?
No, Uber is, let's say you're a limo driver and you got to pick up at LAX or Burbank Airport or something, but you got some downtime. You got 4 hours in between or whatever.
Right.
Uber is the electronic service. It's an app that you put on your phone and you say, I need a ride. And whoever's available, who's just waiting around for another fare, they got some time in between carrying people.
Huh.
They put themselves on the Uber as well and they say, oh, yeah, I'm in your neighborhood. I'll be there in 10 minutes. And next thing you know, like, a sweet-ass sedan pulls up, or an SUV, or a limo, and they drive you to your location for basically the same cost that a cab would be.
No kidding.
And you've entered your credit card into your service there, your Uber, so it's all set up. No cash changes hands. They're already tipped and everything else. And you just go, and then you're there, and you've been riding in luxury and comfort, whereas usually you have a smelly guy who smells of patchouli and acid with one of those bad wooden back massager car seat mats up behind him, and he's talking on his phone, and you're in the cramped back seat of a cab that looks like a death trap. But instead, you go via Uber, and it's magical.
Let's wait for a couple of weeks and see how them having your credit card works out.
I'm telling you.
I'm just saying.
Uber.
To talk to him now?
You don't do anything.
What do you mean you have to talk to him? Because
you don't have to. You can sit in the back of a cab, and you don't have to talk. You can just...
Why would
there.
You have to talk to them?
I don't
well, first
know,
of all,
just
when I get
people.
Into a cab, I usually can't talk to the person who's driving the
right,
cab.
Right, even if you wanted to.
We don't share the same language.
But that's true.
You don't have to do anything you don't want to, Lisa. You can put up the divider phone, kick back, do whatever you want. Let's say you're out at a bar, right, and you're in the bag, mm-hmm. and you got your car there, and you don't want to drive
that's
drunk.
That's a great idea.
Because that's not healthy for anyone. You hit your Uber app on your phone, and it says, oh, yeah, there are 6 cars in your vicinity. The earliest one could be there in 12 minutes. Would you like to take a limo home instead
That's
of...
That's kind of brilliant.
It's genius!
And then you go, oh, I got to go, guys. My ride's here.
Yeah. And then you say, you go, what the... That Lincoln Continental? Yeah, that's me. I got to go. My driver's waiting for me. You hop in and take you home. I'm telling you, I'm not getting paid for this. I just experienced it myself, and I wanted to share the word. But this
Thank
Uber,
you.
This go onto your app store, whichever you use for Android or iPhone, and look up Uber and download it. It's a remarkable service.
I feel
service.
Like I'm being set up.
I kid you not.
Take it out to the middle of the desert and
this
shot.
This is no lemon party. This is the real deal. And I just thought I'd share it with our listeners because it's a magical invention.
So you can take a limousine to learn to play hockey? That's the takeaway here?
That's basically what we're talking about, yeah. All right, I'm done with my banter.
Okay. You may have lost focus.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Actually, you know, it's funny you mention that. I do. I was in a restaurant the other day. Yeah, no. Okay. All right, let's talk about show business. Menkind is a website. Not as good as Uber, but it's a good website.
Sure.
They feature all sorts of news and gifts for dudes. It's a man's website. They conducted a survey with their viewers, and they asked for a list of Hollywood's least sexy actresses. These are actresses who are attractive, who are popular, who are featured in a lot of film and television and in the media. And we're told that they're sexy, but yet it's simply not the case.
They play those roles a lot.
Yeah.
They're in those roles where they're supposed to be ultra sexy.
Right.
But there's a coldness about them.
So here's your list. Here's your list of the least sexy actresses in Hollywood, according to Menkind.com. Uma Thurman was 10th on the list.
Wow.
Lucy Liu.
Yeah, I could see that.
She's so pretty, though.
She's very pretty.
But
most of these girls are really pretty.
But I'm not getting the heat. I'm not feeling the vibe. Hilary Swank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misha Barton.
Yeah.
Again, just flat lines.
Hilary and Misha both seem like little sister types. You know what I mean? They don't seem like grown women that you would want to, you know, date.
Hilary seems like a little brother type.
Yeah.
I don't think that movie is ever going to... He'll leave her.
Strapping herself down. Just to never get that out of my mind. Kirsten Dunst. Yeah, she's got those summer teeth. Some are here, some are there, some are over here. Denise Richards.
Yes.
Super attractive, super not sexy.
Hey, what do you think of Nicole Kidman?
Same.
I think in her day, when she was young and early in her career, she was white hot.
Do you?
Sexy. Yeah. And now she is just
she's still very
cold
attractive,
and
but you don't
icy.
Get...
Nothing. I get nothing.
I get nothing off her.
Lindsay Lohan. Just too much of a hot mess to be sexy, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
In second place, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Nothing sexy about her.
No, and she's been force-fed
to us for years as sex.
Here's a sexy woman.
Oh, she's Sex in the City. Oh, she's the perfect New York single sexy woman. Every man wants to be with her. Oh, John Corbett and Chris Noth and everybody can't stop thinking about her. She's so sexy.
Now, she was attractive as a foal, but as she grew into a full-grown horse, then she lost some.
Well, they rode her in too many races, and I think they burned her out early. Number one on the list, which I have to say is a stroke of genius on behalf of mankind, Kristen Stewart, Twilight's Kristen Stewart.
Yep.
Just
I've never
there.
Understood that.
Yeah, that's... Some of those women are beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's not so much.
Like Denise Richards, you'll recall how thrilled we were to see her in Playboy.
Yeah.
Remember, she's really hot.
She's always been beautiful and hot. But
not sexy. Not sexy. Not sexy. Yeah. Interesting.
That pissy attitude of hers, too.
I think that's some of it, yeah.
What was it, Bean? You and I were on the red carpet for Die Another Day or one of those other Bond films with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
And Bean and I were on the red carpet doing red carpet interviews, which is a chore at best. I mean, the best case scenario you get is not embarrassing yourself in this.
Right.
So you do what you can. And she was walking down the red carpet. You remember she played Dr. Christmas Jones in
sure she
film.
Did. A nuclear physicist.
Nuclear physicist Dr. Christmas Jones.
Sure.
And I think I asked her some question like, well, you know, comes in a long line of, you know, crazy named Bond girls. You have Pussy Galore, you know, and Xena on a top and all this stuff like that. How does it feel to be like a Bond girl like that, like Christmas, you know? How does that feel to be named Christmas? She's like, I am so tired of that question. And it's like, all right then. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
F you. You're on the red carpet for your Bond movie.
It's not like the movie's been out for a year. It's the premiere.
That is a legitimate question.
Absolutely. Ugh.
Obviously.
So tired of that. Yeah, she's like a Lana Del Rey.
So tired of that.
Yeah. While we're talking about pretty but not sexy, Paris Hilton did pretty well for herself over the weekend. She just made $250,000 to host her 32nd birthday party at Peak Nightclub inside of Harrah's Casino in Lake Tahoe.
Wow.
She's doing clubs in Tahoe now. That's what she's reduced to.
She got $250,000.
She used to get paid. Here's what's the big come down for her. Oh. She used to get paid $750,000 to show up at a nightclub in Vegas.
Wow.
That was her rate. Now she has got to move to Tahoe and she's doing it for just a mere $250,000.
Still a lot of dough.
Still a lot of money for a night's work. But she's 32, so she can't have too many of these left.
No. Birthdays, you mean?
No, I just mean in terms
about to die.
In terms of her being considered, you know, a desirable draw. Yeah.
Well, her 15 minutes are pretty much over, right?
Yeah,
I mean, no one really. She's not on anybody's radar anymore. But I guess in Tahoe.
She's in another sex tape.
That's true. That's what she means. Mm-hmm. And this is exciting. It is for me. Mark Hamill has announced that he is in talks with producers of the next Star Wars film to return to the saga, Star Wars 7. Mark Hamill, we've already heard that Harrison Ford apparently is in talks as well, and he said, Mark Hamill did in an interview with Entertainment Tonight, that Carrie Fisher also talking about appearing in the upcoming sequel.
She is not
aged.
Well, look, she doesn't have to play. A slave girl in a bikini. She can play an elder statesman now. She could be Queen Leia instead of Princess Leia, and she could have aged and become, a woman of stature.
Robot?
She's not a robot.
she could be.
Like a representative in the Republic.
I know, but
Senate or something.
A head
like
on
that.
A stick, something like that.
Kevin doesn't have a category of women who aren't young and sexy. You know that, Ralph.
I'm not saying she doesn't have to be sexy. She doesn't. You know, it's like she could be the
right. That's what I'm saying. Though I'm with you. I'm saying Kevin doesn't have that category.
She could be Jabba the Hutt. She could play Jabba the Hutt, right?
She could be like. Who was the British Prime Minister, the woman? Maggie Thatcher. She could be like a Margaret Thatcher type. She could have become now an elder statesman in the government. She could play an interesting role in the franchise.
Sure.
I'm saying.
She's a good actress.
Hire someone else to be the young hottie, and she plays, a grown-up princess.
Yeah, get Kristen Stewart to play the new princess.
What? We just said why you, Iota.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Alan Rickman. Got some angry emails from people for not having mentioned the Harry Potter series that Alan Rickman
was. Right.
Of course.
A lot of
I don't think that was a given, though, no?
A lot of potheads or whatever they call those people who like those movies.
Potheads.
We're upset we did not mention him when we were talking about his biography earlier.
So I never saw the Harry Potter movies, of course.
What?
Well, you're bad in every way.
So I didn't know until this weekend when I was watching 60 Minutes and they interviewed Dame Maggie Smith that she was in all of the Harry Potter movies.
Yes.
I had no idea she was in those movies.
Maybe you should see them.
For a guy who likes to stay current, you are not.
Haven't gotten to him yet.
He's 67 years old today. David Geffen turned 70, record company legend. William Peterson from CSI, 60 years old. Kelsey Grammer is 58. Jack Coleman of Heroes. He was horn-rimmed glasses on that show. 55 years old. Billy Baldwin's 50. Jennifer Love Hewitt turns 34 years old today. Ashley Green turns 26. Ellen Page is also 26 today. And Corbin Blue from High School Musical. He's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have Mr. Skin with the Anatomy Awards, which he always does every time.
Not skinterested!
At the Oscars. We're going to look ahead at the Oscars and give you a preview. And we have, from The Walking Dead, she plays Andrea, Laurie Holden, in the studio. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
That's better.
You did it, Kevin.
Thank you.